If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. We are in the Old Testament. We are in the Ten Commandments. And this morning we will be looking at the fifth commandment, starting the second table of the law. So Exodus chapter 20, and we will be looking at verse 12, the fifth commandment. Here is God's holy and authoritative word to us. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Father, as we study your word, as we study your law, we pray that you would teach us, you would instruct our hearts, Lord, that you would change us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this spring, for whatever reason, I got excited or involved and started watching the NBA Finals, which I normally don't do. And I'm not sure what attracted me to the National Basketball Association Finals this year, but maybe it had to do something with the players, the different stories that were involved in the championship this year. But one of the players that I really enjoyed watching and getting to focus on was Kevin Durant. He's a very good basketball player, won the scoring title several years. And he's just a neat story about how he grew up. And one thing you will notice, that after every single basketball game, who he goes to first to get a big old hug and I think pray with and be comforted from is his mother. He goes straight to his mother, a very, very high profile athlete, very wealthy, very well respected. And the first person that he wants to go to right after every game is his mother. He wants to go and to honor his mother. You know, honoring your father and mother in today's world is not a treasured ideal. We have in some ways lost this in respect to our society. But as believers, the idea of honoring your father and mother is built into the framework of God's creation. So much so that God tells us that the only way for true blessing, according to this commandment, is through keeping this commandment, to honor your father and your mother. In fact, this is one of the most important things that God has said for us to do. It is one of His Ten Commandments. Right there in the middle of the Ten Commandments, we find this command to honor your father and mother. Now, as you know, we're in our Ten Commandments summer sermon series, that's a tongue twister. We've looked at the first four commandments, which is called, some scholars call, the first table of the law. And they are the horizontal commandments because they deal with our relationship, man's relationship with God. Vertical commandments, excuse me. They're the vertical commandments, up, down, vertical. And then we're now going over to the second table of the law, the horizontal commandments. And that has to do with our relationship to each other, as Jesus told us to love our neighbor. It's so important that you get the first table, that your relationship with God is center. We are to honor His name. We are to worship Him alone. We are to keep His Sabbath. And when we get those things right and those things centered, then we begin to see that the second table is like it, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Loving your neighbor in the Bible begins first with loving your family. Those are your closest neighbor. Every single one of us, that means we are to love and honor our mother and our father. This is what it means to be human. We are all born with parents. Every one of us have a mother and father. Every child here, every adult child here, every one of us. And God has prescribed this commandment as having the utmost importance in our lives. This commandment is the unchanging divine formula for blessing in your life. This commandment is what it means to live in the covenant of grace, to receive God's covenant blessings, as later we will read, for it to go well with you and you to live long in the land. It's important, though, as we approach this commandment, not to use it in some ways that has traditionally been used. It's not a commandment for parents to bark at their children and say, "You better get in line, God's word says to obey me." Certainly there's a very important component of obedience that we will look at. But this commandment is more than that. This commandment is to help you, every single one of you in here, to live a godly life. And this commandment ultimately points all of us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, here's what I want to propose to you. Here's what I want to hold on to. Pastor Wheat says, here's your sentence. Honoring your parents is God's design for blessing in the lives of His people. Honoring your parents is God's design for blessing in the lives of His people. And we're going to look at this as a commandment for children. It's a commandment for parents. And it's a commandment that points us to Jesus. So those are the three things we'll be looking at. First, it's a commandment for children. The weight of this commandment, the onus of this commandment, the burden of this commandment is pointed toward children. So if you were here this morning, children, raise your hand if you're a child. Oh, some of you aren't listening. Raise your hand if you're a child. All of us are. But the weight of this commandment is aimed toward children if you are living at home and you are still under your parents' authority. If you're 2, if you're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You're a preteen, you're a teenager, maybe you're 19, 20, you're still trying to figure it out right there, but you're still at home and you're still under your parents' authority. This commandment has very important intentionality for you to listen up this morning. So children, bear with me, listen. It is the commandment that focuses primarily on children. Matter of fact, it's the only commandment that gives a promise, and this promise is primarily for children. You, young children, if you're here this morning, listen to this. The key word here, the word you need to learn and focus on, is honor. Honor is to show respect. Honor is to give worth. Honor is more than just being obedient, and certainly that is included in this. But it is to respect. It is to hold in high regard. It is to honor your parents means that you give credence to their power and authority over you because God has given it to them. God has given all of us parents that we are to honor and to submit to their authority because God has given your parents that authority. For children, the parents stand in the place of God. They are God's representative. They answer to God as the boss, as they parent you as a child. Now, parents don't take the place of God. Please hear me correctly. You're not to worship your parents. Parents are God's agents to guide you, to lead you, to parent you, to help you walk according to His ways, to help you live a wise and safe life. Children, it's very, very important for you to understand. Children, please listen to me. It is very important for you to obey your parents and to honor them. Because God's Word teaches them that dishonoring and disobeying your parents is dishonoring and disobeying God. You rebel against your parents, you're ultimately rebelling against God. God is not pleased when we disobey and dishonor our parents. It is His rule, it is His will that you obey your parents, children. There are many reasons why this commandment is right. There are many reasons why this commandment is good. Think about all that your parents do for you, children. I bet some of you, your mamas even laid out your clothes for you. And dads, don't be offended if your wife laid out your clothes for you this morning. That's a good thing. Your parents got up and got you breakfast ready this morning. Think about all the things they've done for you in life. Giving you food to eat, clothes to wear, a place to live, taking you fun places, done fun things with you. They do a lot for you. Now think about this. Think about a lot of, most of you in here are above the age of 2. Okay, so go to the nursery, check out a 2-year-old or under. Could that 2-year-old or under take care of themselves? We would all not last a day. I mean, think about if we were all just born in this world and laid on this table. Okay, take care of yourself. It wouldn't happen. We need our parents. We need our parents to provide for us and take care of us, and we'd be thankful for that. There are a host of other reasons why we are to give them honor and to obey them for all these things that God has said. But when it comes to this idea of obedience, which is included in honor, obedience is not cool today, is it? Matter of fact, obedience is really countercultural. The world would tell you to disobey and live free and do what you would like to do. Culture teaches teaches us that children are the smart ones. They're the ones that we need to listen to. Parents are the stupid ones. Parents are the ones, they don't have a clue what's going on. I mean, go flip on a TV show this week. Dads, you should be offended the way they make fathers look in those TV shows. Like, make us look like buffoons. But as one of my friends here recently said, you know, the American dad may have given up on the home life, but not in my household. I change a diaper every day. I said, way to go. God bless America. Even schools, unintentionally or intentionally, teach us that parents don't know what they're doing and you don't need to listen to them. It's the school that will get the kids in line and teach them how to be productive members of society. Parents, you just make sure you get them there by 8 o'clock. Children, maybe you have some friends that you know are very disobedient to their parents. Your friends have no respect and no regard for their parents, and maybe the devil uses that as a foothold to help you think, well, maybe I should treat my parents that way. Maybe that's the way I'm supposed to act toward my parents. This is not honoring to the Lord. Children, you must take God's word very seriously here. God's word teaches you the right way, the good way. His way is to honor your mother and your father. Notice it says your mother and father, not just your father, not just your mother, not your parents, your mother and your father. The fifth commandment does not mean, though, to just obey your parents no matter what. This commandment does not mean that you have to obey your parents if they call you to do something sinful or call you to do something maybe against your conscience. However, I've heard this excuse used by a teenager before. I don't need to listen to my parents. I'm not going to do what they say because they're not right. Or I don't feel like it. Children, let me caution you here very, very carefully that if you feel that your obedience and your loyalty and your honor to your parents is causing a moral crisis in your life or causing you to do something against God's word, you need to get help. You need to go to a pastor, an elder, a wise mentor and say, I'm struggling here to honor my parents. Could you help me? It is not up to you and you alone just to decide what you want to obey and what you don't want to obey. So please take that word of caution very, very carefully. We read on, though, in the New Testament where we find the Apostle Paul had very important words to say about this commandment, too. Turn in your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul picks up on this theme of honoring your mother and your father when he is given instructions to the Ephesians church. And he's given instructions to different groups in the church. And he takes time for the children. Listen to what God's word has to say, what God's word teaches. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, he gives these instructions. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. What is Paul saying here? What he is teaching and what he has been teaching in the book of Ephesians, that ultimately when you bow a knee to your parents, when you obey them, when you honor them, you are bowing a knee. You are obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says it is right to obey your parents. It is holy. It is just. It is righteous. It is what God's word says to do. This is what God's prescription is for children. Obey your parents. And he says, in the Lord. And what he means by to obey your parents in the Lord, meaning that to obey your parents is what is consistent with Jesus' teachings, with Jesus' commandments. And we can see that portrayed out in his life in the Gospels. Again, Paul picks up on this theme in another one of his letters, in Colossians. When he is speaking to the Colossians church, he says this to children. Children, obey your parents And in case there was any question, he said, in everything. He gave no exceptions. He said, children, obey your parents in everything. And then he says, for this pleases the Lord. Now, children, I really want you to listen to me on this. Some of you are wondering. Some of you are coloring. Some of you are looking at your cell phone. Stop that. Now, you're going, how can I, as a young man or woman of God, how can I walk with God? How can I please God as an 8-year-old? What does God want me to do as a 5-year-old? He wants you to obey your parents. That's what the Bible says is right. Listen well to your parents. If you don't listen to your parents, if you don't obey your parents, God's word says you will not be happy. You will be miserable and you will have no joy. Think about that for a minute. I'm guessing that if you're in here with your parents in church today, that you're not living too much of a life of rebellion. But maybe you have some friends at school, some friends at out in the neighborhood, in the community, that, you know, those are the ones you come home and go, Mom, they are bad. You know, they are trouble. They are really unhappy. Why is that? Well, I would tell you it's probably because they don't get this commandment. They're not honoring their mother and their father, and they are living a life, in fact, of misery. They're not happy. Children, this commandment is for you. It is God speaking directly to you this morning, children, and telling you to listen to your parents and obey them, for this is right, and this is good, and this will make you happy because it's God's way. In my household, one of the verses that I had my children memorize at a very young age when they could start to speak and think is Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Some of you in here might think, as society would certainly might tell me, well, that's being a dictator. That's being a tyrant. You are in danger of hurting your children's self-esteem by doing things like that. Well, in my household, we want to honor God and honor His Word. And I would argue I'm not being oppressive and I'm not in danger of ruining my child's self-esteem because we follow God's Word, and God's Word is our rule of faith and life. And if I'm not teaching my children to honor and obey their mother and their father, then how are they going to learn to honor and obey their Heavenly Father? They will not. They will not learn, because what the Bible teaches us, that children are to submit and to honor and to obey their parents, because then they learn to honor and obey their Heavenly Father and to submit to Jesus' rule in their life. Because this is the way that God has ordered it. This is the way that God has prescribed it for blessing for children. Children are to obey their parents because it is right, it is good, it is the way to happiness and joy. Obedience to parents is God's design to give blessing. Now, living out this commandment in the South, parents, is not for you to teach your children to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. Certainly, manners are important, and they're good. But what God is requiring from this commandment is that children learn to submit to Jesus in everything, that they give their life to Him. And by submitting to Jesus, they submit to the authority structures that God has placed in their lives for their good, and that is the parents. This commandment, though, is not just for children. So this is all children in here. Every one of you in here is children. This commandment has some very specific implications for you as a young adult. Maybe you're sitting there and you're in your 20s and your 30s. You're learning to live as an adult. You are perhaps a parent yourself. How do you practically keep this commandment as an adult child in your 20s and 30s and like that? Well, I think the Bible clearly teaches here, and this commandment is implicit, that for you, this means to respect your parents. To respect them. Maybe you're becoming a little nostalgic. Maybe you're starting to think a little bit about, you know, my parents, they put up with a lot from me. Especially if you have young children like me. I have four children. I've called my father about once a week. How did you not lock me in a room? How did you not just spank me every day? I knew I was that bad. Thank you for that, by the way, Dad. I have a new respect, a new appreciation for my parents, for A, putting up with me, but B, just the call of parenting and the life they lived in raising me. And so as an adult child in your 20s and 30s, there's a deep respect and admiration that you are to have for your parents as you honor them and as you maybe perhaps seek their counsel to learn how to live as an adult, as a parent yourself. I think this commandment, though, also has implications for even older adult children. If you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe your parents are still around and living, and maybe you're struggling and trying to figure out, okay, what does this mean for me to honor my mother and father and keep this commandment? Well, I know from getting to know many of you and praying with many of you that you have ailing parents. Some of you I know have parents that are a real drain on your time and on your emotional stability and on your resources. But I applaud you for that and the time that you spend with them, because I think keeping this commandment means to care for your parents, to literally look after their needs. Jesus had some really tough words to say for the Pharisees who were inventing these laws and commandments to where they didn't have to give money to help out their elderly parents, and said, no, I'm supposed to give it to the church. And Jesus says, woe to you. No. To honor your parents at a later age is to care for them, to care for their needs. It's a very practical way we can keep this commandment. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're listening to this sermon and you're really having a hard time because you're going, Wilson, you have no idea the childhood I grew up in. Maybe you come from a place where it's hard for you to think about respecting and honoring your parents because you had a very rough childhood. And you're going, there's no way that I can live out this commandment because of the way I grew up. Maybe, just maybe, the way for you to honor your parents is to forgive them. Maybe you need to move toward them and forgive them, because we have been forgiven much. We must remember, though, that all of us, God is our Heavenly Father, is He not? He's the ultimate dad. Jesus says we cry out to Him, Abba, Father. He is our daddy. He's the best parent. And He is the one who sent His Son to die for our disobedience. Children, this commandment again is for you. Honor your father and mother, for this is right. It is good. I believe this commandment has some serious implications, though, for parents as well. This is a commandment for us parents. What does this commandment have to say to parents? What does it mean for a parent to be worthy of honor in their children's eyes? You may have noted before that the Ten Commandments are actually repeated in the Old Testament by Moses. They're repeated in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, we have a little bit of a different rendering of the Fifth Commandment, where we find these words, that it may go well with you. Moses says, honor your mother and your father, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Again, the emphasis in that rendering of the commandment is on covenant blessing and happiness in your life through obedience, because this is God's design. But that's not the last thing that Moses has to say to his people. He has certainly a lot more in the book of Deuteronomy. And just one chapter later, in chapter 6, we find a very, very important passage called the Shema, which means to hear. And Moses gathers all 2 million people and says, Israel, listen, this is God's word to you. And here is the way of covenant blessing and covenant happiness. And he specifically has some things to say to the parents. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You, parents, shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. What does it mean for fathers and mothers to be worthy of honor according to the law of God, according to the teaching of His Word? It means that you teach your children to love the Lord their God with all their heart. And it means that you, parents, that you talk about the Lord with your children. That you teach your children all times, and it gives a very specific formula for how you do this. When you're sitting at home, when you're sitting at the dinner table, what an opportunity to talk about the Lord with your children. You don't have to be a theologian, a scholar, or a pastor to do this. We can help you with some resources, but just tell me about your day and what the Lord taught you. Some of you moms, I know, because I'm married to one, just are driving around all the time. I mean, you practically should have a commercial driver's license to drive your children to and from everything. And so you're with your children a lot in the car. And I would encourage you to take advantage of that time to, we don't walk everywhere like the Bible says here. We're not an agrarian society, but we're driving along the way. We're driving along the road. And what an opportunity to maybe listen to a worship song. Listen to that Bless the Lord, O My Soul song and talk about it. Talk about the Lord. Talk about His Word. Maybe memorize a Bible verse together. Maybe talk about some catechism that some of the young children are learning here at church. Maybe you're getting ready to go on vacation, and some of you I know are going to some very beautiful vacation spots, the beach, the mountains. Take time to look at God's creation and point out the glory of the Lord in His creation and talk about the Lord with your children. Parents, think back to your own childhood. What are the things in your life that you remember about your parents that is worthy of honor? Maybe it was another set of parents that you were close to, some friends or some a family from church, and you thought, those parents, they're doing it right. That's how I want to raise my family. What are those things that they did, that your parents or others did, that were worthy of honor? Well, I hope as you think back and you reflect on that, that you remember things about honoring the Lord, and that you seek to instill in your family life now the things that have to do with the worship in honor of the Lord. Things like praying with your children, reading scripture to your kids, teaching your children to worship. The Bible says these are the things that are worthy of honor. The times in my life that I remember that I'm so appreciative that what my dad taught me were the things that he taught me about being a man of God and leading my own family. And those are the things that are worthy of honor that we are to do as well. You may recall from some years ago, Pastor Wheat shared a story about one of the biggest fights that he ever had with his wife was in front of Cinderella's castle at Disney World. Well, I don't have one of those yet. But it was about a year and a half ago, I had the opportunity to take my family to Disney World. And we were leaving the park, leaving Cinderella's castle, Magic Kingdom. And I began to notice a commotion up in front of me. And as we walked up there, I saw a very large man, a father, looking down at his daughter in this manner, yelling at her and cussing her out. I'll never forget that. It was very troubling. It was very hurtful to watch. I'm sure that that teenage girl disrespected and dishonored her father in some way. But as he began to yell at her and to cuss her, he, in that moment, lost all respect and lost all ability for his child to honor him. This is a heartbreaking story of reality that is all too common. Children don't want to honor their parents Because they haven't seen it modeled. And I've been deeply convicted of this lately, and I was even more convicted recently as I read an article on the Gospel Coalition website. And it was by a lady named Jen Wilkin, and the article was called, "Don't Just Wait Until They're Teenagers." And in this article, she writes about civility, and the civility that parents are to practice as they parent their children. And she says this, if you'll bear with me as I read from this article. She says, "Civility, the practice of treating others with kindness and respect, is foundational to society and the Christian home. Why? Because it lives out the great command. When Christ admonished us to love our neighbors as ourselves, he pointed us toward not just being fair, but preferential treatment of others. We want others to treat us better than we deserve, so we should treat others that way. However, as parents, we sometimes forget to regard our children as our neighbors." She says, "Civil children come from civil environments. Many parents feel free to speak to their children with a level of incivility they would not use with anyone else they know. They bark orders. They raise their voices. They use sarcasm and contempt, like, 'Seriously? Is that how you clean your room?' They poison civil language with contemptuous tone, 'Ryan, please put on your shoes.'" Some of you are going, "Was I at your house this morning?" No, I wasn't. "They patronize their children. They roll their eyes and sigh at their children. They construct a cocktail of word choice and tone and body language that they would not serve to a coworker, a friend, or a stranger on the street. And then they serve it liberally to an underage consumer, the smallest neighbor they are called to love preferentially, their own child. And yet these parents are shocked to end up with an adolescent fluent in the language of contempt." She goes on to encourage parents with younger children that as they move toward parenting in the adolescent years to start asking some very critical questions. And so parents, please think about these questions here for a moment. Ask yourself these questions. Do I address my child with kindness and respect, even in conflict? Do I use my tone and body language to communicate civility or contempt? Do I guard my child's exposure to media sources that model uncivil exchanges between children and adults? I was very convicted as we let my children watch Home Alone the other night. There's a lot to not to do in that movie, but that's beside the point. I confess my sin. Next question. Do I teach my child that civil words are not merely magic words that achieve a desired result, but are moral words that obey the great command of preferential love? Parents, I'm very convicted by Miss Wilkins' article here, and I hope that you are too. But as parents, we are to affirm the lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives and the lives of our children. And one of the ways that we do this is we love our children as our neighbor. We love them as we would want to be loved. We treat them as we want them to treat us. We have to model this commandment to our children. If you're struggling, though, with living out the weighty responsibility of this commandment, if you're like, "Wilson, you have no idea the spiritual warfare that was going on in my home before we came to church this morning." As one of my friends said one time, the devil visits our home on Sunday mornings. And maybe you're just really struggling with this. Come talk to me. Come talk to Laurie. We would love to talk with you and pray with you and counsel you on family matters. Any of the pastors would, the elders. We've been offering some parenting equipping classes on Wednesday nights in our fall midweek series when they start up. We are very passionate about helping equip you. So please come and see us and let us help you. It's a commandment for children. As we've seen, it's a commandment for parents. But ultimately, this is a commandment that points us to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26, we find a very vivid scene of a son struggling to obey his father. And if you will please listen along as I read this account. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." And going a little farther, he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. He said to Peter, "So could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, for the second time, he went away and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." Facing the pain, facing the hell of the cross, Jesus obeyed his heavenly Father. He willingly, obediently went to the cross, was forsaken by his Father so that we could live. Jesus has died for our disobedience. His death was the pinnacle of what true obedience looked like. I mean, "Father, I will drink this cup, but if there's any way to take it from me, but I will do your will, I will obey you," was his posture. If this doesn't drive you to obedience and honoring your mother and your father, I do not know what will, because it is the gospel. And it is the reason that we obey. What joy we have that Christ fulfilled this commandment on our behalf by perfectly obeying his heavenly Father, submitting to the authority of your parents, obeying your parents. It is the Bible's formula for divine blessing in your life. It brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it brings joy to your life. In a lot of ways, this commandment is a spiritual barometer. It's a spiritual barometer for your family life. It's a spiritual barometer for our church, Highlands Presbyterian Church. And it is a command that we want to keep and that we want to teach and that we want to instruct and encourage. Because a rebellious spirit will not bring you blessing. It will bring you curse. Proverbs says this over and over. In the first chapter of Proverbs, he says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." It's glorious. It's blessing. But children, again, one more time, the weight of this commandment is on you. This commandment is calling you to honor your father and mother. It's God's word to you. He's speaking to you. This is one of the 10 most important things that God had to say to his people. And he put it right there in the middle of the 10 commandments. Listen to him. Pastor Kent Hughes says that this commandment is survival information. It will not go well with you if you don't keep it. There will be no happiness for you. There will be no joy. In your day-to-day living, keep this commandment as survival information. If you follow this commandment, honoring your parents, you will have grace and blessing in your life. It will go well with you in the land, in the life that you are living. You will grow closer to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and begin to love him more and more as you understand what his obedience meant for you. His obedience is the gospel. He went to the cross obediently and died for you. Obey, honor your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Pray with me. Father, we love you, and we thank you that you are a patient and loving Father toward us, your children. Lord, we freely confess to you that we struggle to keep this commandment as young children and as adult children. We need your grace. We need your Spirit. We need deep conviction of the gospel when it comes to keeping this commandment. So, Lord, would you help us? Lord, we are so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and his obedient life and death on our behalf. And so we praise you and we thank you. And we do this in his name. Amen.